first chapter, verses 15 through 17, if you have a copy of God's word. First Timothy, first chapter, verses 15 through 17. It reads, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exceptions that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen." May the Lord add a blessing for those that follow and do his holy and divine will.
Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't in this world anymore.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. "For I not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord should not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Amen. I want to say good morning, congregation. It's good for us to be here. A wonderful day and time to serve God. At the same time, know that everybody's concerned with the pandemic that's out there. What I want to tell you is we need to certainly use a lot of common sense in all that we're going to do. I heard a guy yesterday, I went to my cousin's funeral. He told everybody in the congregation, "You just pray and you're going to be all right." And you know, I said to myself that, you know, with prayer, you got to use common sense as well, because that's what James was talking about. James said sometimes people pray and they pray amiss, because they're praying with a lot of foolishness. So God gave us common sense to use. So use your common sense in your prayer, and God will answer your prayer. This is a serious thing that's out there. A lot of people don't take it seriously. They don't take it for granted. I'm in the middle of it. I'm right on the front line of this, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not taking it for granted at all. Amen? The title of today's lessons is Honor and Glory to God. The question that comes to my mind first this morning is have you ever wanted to be someone else? And as children, we all probably wish we were someone else, and most children have a very common fantasy of pretending to be their superhero or favorite make-believe character. I know I was Batman. Nobody couldn't tell me that. Amen? And as a Christian, have you ever wanted to be someone else? Most children, most of us, you know, in our spiritual lives, would say things like this: spiritually, my life would be a lot simpler if I could change places with him or her. You ever thought of, if I could do what I want to do for the Lord, if I just had his or her life, I could do whatever I want to do for God, but I have my own plain life. Perhaps most often than we realize, we say to ourselves, if I had her money, or if I had his voice, or if I had her talent, or if I had that education, or the opportunities that he had, if I had her leadership and his education, if I just had all the opportunities, if I had her background, if I had a wonderful speaking ability, then I could do something truly significant and wonderful for God. Let me ask you the same question a couple of different ways. What is the most important thing a person can do for God? What is the most valuable thing in life that a person can do for God? I say that the most important thing you can do for God is to allow him to reveal his glory through your life. The most valuable thing that you and I can do for the God of heaven and earth is to just let God reveal his glory through us. Nothing we can do brings greater tribute and honor to God than putting ourselves in position to be used by God. I mean, we let the world use us up all the time. Why not let God use us to bring about his glory? There's nothing that more fully accomplishes the purpose of God than our allowing God to reveal his glory through our lives. But unfortunately, there's a belief out there. Most of us believe, and we are trying to be something or someone that we can never be before God can be glorified in our lives. We want the proper voice that we can sing to God when he gave us a voice and he hears our heart. We just somehow don't believe that the life we have or the abilities we possess or the situation that we in can be used by God to bring glory to himself. If we were that other person doing those impossible things and having those impossible opportunities, then we think of ourselves, and yeah, God could possibly use us to glorify himself. But God cannot glorify himself in us if we are who we are, with our shameful situations, with all our struggles, and with all our problems, or so we believe that. He might be able to use somebody else, but me? Nah, God can't use me. I want you to think back about 2,000 years or so ago. Some Christians came to that very same conclusion. I want to read in your hearing from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You want to start in verse number 17. The Bible says these words, 1 Corinthians 7, 17. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I laid down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Now, if I understand these scriptures correctly, if I understand the situation the way that Paul is putting it out, some converted Jews said, if I had not been born and raised as a Jew, I could really serve Christ. And I wouldn't be steeped in all these legalistic attitudes and the ideas that hinder me spiritually because I was born a Jew. Some converted non-Jews said, if I had not been born and raised in a family of idol worshipers, I could really serve God. But I don't know anything about Scripture, and I don't even know much about the true God. Some of the converted slaves said, if I were not a slave, boy, I could really serve Christ. But I'm not free, and so many things happen in my life that I have no control over. And what Paul said here is that your thinking is completely misguided. You have missed the point completely when you think that God cannot use you because of who you are, because of your situation, because of where you are. You missed the point completely. You can be the Christian God wants you to be just by being who you are right where you are right now. You don't have to change life situations in order to accomplish God's purposes in your life. Allowing Christ to live in you in your life situation and circumstances is precisely what God wants to happen. He wants to use you right now where you are with the talents and abilities that you have. Let me give you a good example here. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in the Valley of Elah? We find the Israelites fighting against the Philistines, and here comes this big guy named Goliath. And he's threatening God's people. And David is following the orders of his dad. He takes these cheeses to the battle so his brothers can have something to eat. And he's talking to Saul about this dog that's cursing God's people. And David says, I'll go out and fight him. And Saul says, you can't fight him. What do you have to fight him with? And David gives his testimony about the lion and the bear and how God saved him with just these three stones. And Saul says, nah, that's nonsense. Put my armor on and go out and use it. And David looks right at him and says these things. I have not proven your armor. In other words, David is going to use what God has given him to use to glorify God. We can't use something that's not ours to glorify God. There are too many people who want to be somebody else. If he'd have gave me that coat of armor, I'd have felt like Superman. I'm going out there now. That's what we think. We think that we can supersede our lives and certainly do some other things that we simply can't do. And we can be somebody else that we simply are not. We've got to allow Christ to live in us in our present life situation, because he can glorify himself through us where we are even right now. What Paul said in the New Testament repeatedly confirms it is a message we need to adopt right here at Franklin Street at 431. For too long, we deliberately have created the impression that God's glory can be revealed only in one particular type of life and only a distinctive type of person. You know, we look with our eyes and we see people and we think that, oh, yeah, you're the Christian that God wants, but we don't know what's going on inside of them. We don't know how they're dealing with the situations and the life circumstances that has been handed them. We don't even know how they're serving God. It's a perfect example. We let people walk into the service of the Lord on a Sunday morning, and then come from Timbuktu. And all I got to say, I'm a brother in Christ, and bam, here they up leading prayer. Well, that might be another sermon, huh? We don't know the life situation they're in. We don't know if they're strong enough to even pray for us as a congregation. Listen, God can be glorified, we think in our own minds, this is our impression, that God can only be glorified by the person who establishes a Christian family and maintains a Christian home. Yeah, he can glorify God. We think that the person who has no struggles and has no serious personal problems can glorify God. We think that the person who always makes the right decision and does the right thing, oh yeah, he can give glory to God. We think that the person who never had an addiction problem, never had a greed, alcohol, or drug problem, he is the one. We think that people who have never had financial problems or have never made any horrible mistakes, they can glorify God, but not me. I've had those things in my life. We think that the person who was good before baptism and remained good after baptism, he doesn't have to repent of anything serious. So, yes, he can give God glory, right? He just needs to keep doing what he's doing and living like he was living. Well, I'm going to tell you something this morning, church. When we say that this is the only person who can reveal God's glory, we automatically buy into a false belief of these things. We believe that if you're not married, you just can't glorify God as well as a Christian who's married. We believe that if your marriage fails, you cannot glorify God. We believe if you experience moral problems, you can't glorify God fully. We believe that if you struggle with any kind of addiction, you can't glorify God. What are we saying? We believe that if you made bad decisions and choices, if you made serious mistakes, if you struggle with serious problems, then God is limited in the way that he can use your life to bring him glory. We believe God just cannot be truly glorified in lives like mine, in lives like these. But when I look at other people and the lives they live in, who I just want to be, I want that kind of life because I know they're glorifying God. Might be child molesters. Looking at porn all the time. You don't know what people do away from the company of believers. You don't know what they do. We like to think they do the right thing. But we look at them thinking they're doing the right thing, and we want to be who they are so we can glorify God. But who decided that? Who decided that? Is that God speaking? Or is that us speaking? Let me tell you something. If you've been a Christian for some time, if you're a serious student of the Bible, and you regularly study the Bible to understand and learn what God has for us, I want to tell you that aside and apart from Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, there's one person who has spiritually influenced your life more powerfully than anyone else. He was a man of violence. He was an aggressive intimidator who used fear to destroy Christians. He was a man who called Jesus a liar and an imposter. He was physically abused by Christians and treated them with total contempt. And when this man became a Christian, he had the visible appearance of a personal presence of a man who was weak. He struggled with a problem that prevented him from serving Christ as effectively as he wanted to. And there's considerable evidence that this man had a lot of Christians who had no respect for him at all. Yet most Christians today see God's glory shining through Paul's life like never before. I want you to read me again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17.
This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, Christ Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Now the question I have is, did God use Paul's life to reveal God's glory? Yes, he did. He did. God revealed his glory through this aggressive, strong-willed, driven, unmarried man. Yes, God revealed his glory through this man who once helped kill Christians, who once declared Jesus Christ was an apostate and a liar, who once used violence to enforce his religious views. God revealed his glory through this man who, as a Christian, was held in contempt by the Jews, who was declared weak and ineffective by some Christians, and who was a target for persecution most places he went. God revealed his glory through Paul, who spent a lot of time in jail, who was run out of town more than once, and who was executed as a dangerous criminal. But what did Paul say about himself? What did he say in those verses we just read? He said, God was making a statement through me. That's what he said. God said that he sent Jesus to save sinners, any sinner of any kind, and I am the worst. When God saved me, he saved the worst sinner that ever existed. What did Paul say? He said he saved me to declare to all sinners that if God can save me in Jesus Christ, God can save anyone. If God can use his glory in me, Paul said, the chief of sinners, he can use his glory. Amen. He says, I'm the perfect proof of the patience of Jesus Christ. I'm the example of God's power to forgive anyone who dares to place their faith in Christ Jesus. We've taken a look at ourselves externally more than we ought to. We take a look at other people externally more than we ought to. We ought not want to be anyone else except an imitator of Christ Jesus. And God makes a statement in the life of every man and every woman who places faith in Jesus Christ. No matter who you are or where you're at, or no matter what you've done, God makes this statement and he will use you to reveal his glory. But you've got to keep yourself in a position to be used by God. Every time a person repents, God is revealing his glory through that person. Every time a person fails and reaches out their hand to take the hand of God, God is revealing his glory through that person. Every time a person lives a life of struggle and hardship in Jesus Christ, God is revealing his glory through that person. Every time you're burdened with weakness and you're sustained by God, God is using his glory through you to make other men see that he is the God of heaven and earth. Peter cursed and swore that he never knew Jesus. And God used that moment to reveal his glory. Jesus struggling in Gethsemane, praying until he sweated as though he were bleeding, and God used that moment to reveal, you with me? His glory. A thief on a cross beside Jesus Christ, dying. He asked Jesus Christ for consideration, and God used it to reveal his glory. Dorcas, Tabitha, she made clothing for people and she died. And God brought her back to life, and he used that situation to reveal his glory to mankind. And I'm telling you this morning that if you place your faith in Christ and hold on to God's hand, if you from your heart repent of the evil that trips you up every time temptation visits upon you, if you draw your life and your strength from the goodness and forgiveness of God, God will use you, and he will use your life to reveal his glory. What if I'm single, Brother Collins? Can he use me? Yes, he can. What if I'm a single parent, female-dominated household? Can he use me? Yes, he can. What if I'm divorced? What if I'm in a troubled marriage? Can God use me? Yes, he can. What if I'm on drugs and addicted? Amen? What if I made some really dumb moral mistakes? Can God use me? If I have a good life, a good home, and very few problems, as long as you place your faith in Christ instead of yourself and give the honor and glory to God that only he deserves, God can and will use you in your life to give him glory. We just got to want to be there for God. You know, it takes a whole world filled with every kind of people in every situation to reveal God's glory. Sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. And every time we look around, we just fall into this guilt trip about who we are and wish we could be somebody else. I don't know who you want to be. Who do you want to be? And why do you want to be that person? They don't even want to be themselves, and you want to be them. You know, in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, it tells us that Jesus met a man once who was demon-possessed. He was a maniac. He lived around the gravesite all the time, tormenting people. He was tormented as well. He was violent and uncontrollable. He terrorized everybody, and he was running around naked and screaming, and he was really strong, and no one would even dare to get close to this man. But Jesus came on the scene. And he cast out a multitude of demons out of this man and permitted the demons to enter into a herd of pigs on the hillside by the sea. The pigs immediately stampeded into the sea, and they were drowned. And everyone in town came to see what had happened. Let me just tell you, they saw two things when they got there. They saw a herd of dead pigs floating in the sea. That's amazing within itself. And they saw the former maniac, the former guy who was tormented by evil and sin. They saw him sitting quietly next to the feet of Jesus and clothed in his right mind. And all those people were afraid. They said, Jesus, you got to leave here. You got to go. You got to go. But the man wanted to leave with Jesus as well, and he begged Jesus, please let me go with you. Because it's embarrassing now to live around these people. All these things I've done to these people when I wasn't in my right mind. I need to go with you, Jesus. Can you imagine how grateful he was that Jesus had clothed him in his right mind now? Can you imagine how much he wanted to be with Jesus? But listen to what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said to this man. He says, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. Man, if we can just go home and tell people that God has rescued us from whatever sin and evil that lives within us, if we can just go home and declare that to people, what a wonderful thing it would be that we can reveal God's glory through our lives. Jesus told him, he says, listen, go back home. You be who you are, right where you are, and let God reveal his glory through your present situation. God can reveal his glory through whatever it is that we're going through, whatever present situation we're in. It doesn't matter if the world's beating us down. Doesn't matter if we financially strapped. Doesn't matter if we addicted. It doesn't matter if you're just so full of sin that you just can't stop lying. God, I don't think you hear me this morning. I don't think we really believe that God is who he said he is, because we will not allow God to use us effectively to reveal his glory. We've got to be in a position to allow God to use us. And we've got to want to be used by God. But we're so busy looking at other folks who we think that are serving God correctly, we're comparing ourselves with ourselves. Let me tell you something. All of us have been in a situation where we were sinners. And there's not one sin that's worse than another sin. We might think that it's egregious, but in God's mind, sin is sin, and he pardons all sin exactly alike. So if you feel like you want to stop sinning, you feel like you want to repent and stop trying to be somebody that you're not and imitate the mind of Jesus Christ, God will clean you up too. And he will use you too. Right now, where you are, whatever your situation is, allow God to use you to reveal his glory to mankind. The church is, that's all the world has is us. You know, I heard Brother Gay said at the lectureship last week, he says, you know, when he goes out and he teaches people, people always tell him the first thing they say, well, you know, we have Christians over here in this church too. We're not talking about the Church of Christ. And Brother Gay said, I asked him, well, what they're doing over there? Amen? I want to know where our minds are. What are we doing over there? God cannot use us to reveal his glory if we're not in the church. Amen? The church is the manifold wisdom. It comes from God. Deal with that. Deal with that. It's only us. It's only in us. Those of us that are in Christ Jesus that can reveal the glory of God. Let that stuff go. I want to be Batman. I'm going to tell you right now. You don't even enter my mind. I'm just happy to be God's man. Amen. And you ought to be happy to be God's woman as well. We ought to be happy that we're in Christ Jesus, because it's a blessing that we just take for granted too much. What's your present life situation? Whether you have a great marriage or not. Whether you put your foot on that door or not, Brother Hall, it don't matter. Do you have a wonderful home? Do you have a wonderful spiritual life? Let God use you to reveal his glory. Listen, some of us in here are struggling. I know, again, I say it time and time again, the struggle is real. A lot of us are going through difficulties in our lives. Look, are your problems bigger than you are? You can't deal with them on your own. Let God use you in your life. Have you made mistakes that you think that's just non-recoverable? Let God use you to reveal his glory. Have you said some things that you just shouldn't have said? Are you single? Are you a single parent? Are you divorced? Are you in a troubled marriage? Are you running out there in the streets, giving yourself to the world? Or you're just looking for any opportunity to find yourself drinking spirits that's not of God? Everybody's got a problem. Nobody wants to talk about it. Let's talk about it, and let's talk to God about it so he can rid us of it and let him use us to reveal his glory to mankind. You can do it. You can do it. Your ability to glorify God is not based on what you can do to help God, but on what God can do to help you. I don't know why we always have a desire to be somebody else. And if you do, here's what I want to say to you this morning. Stop it. That's it. Stop it. Be yourself and allow God to use you from whatever situation in life you're going to find yourself in. And let him use you from wherever you are right now. I don't know where you are spiritually, but you know that you're not where you ought to be. You know that. I can't know that. But I'm encouraging you to just glorify God wherever you are right now. Just glorify God. Give him all the honor and the glory and the praise that only he deserves. Because it's only through Jesus Christ can God truly work in all of us. You remember in John chapter 11, a man by the name of Lazarus, two sisters, Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that know that that body was stinking, wasn't it? There's a lot of people that know he was dead, wasn't it? It says in John 11, 39 and 40, these words. Jesus said, take away that stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if you would believe, thou should see the glory of God. Let me tell you something. I don't know how long some of us in here have been dead and stinking. I don't know. But I'm telling you, all you got to do is believe, and you're going to see the glory of God, and you're going to become alive in Christ and a sweet aroma. We're stinking up the place, church. Allow God to use us for his glory. It's going to take all of us in all of our situations to reveal what an incredible, wonderful, glorious, loving God and Savior that we serve. It's going to take all of us and all that we have. So let's encourage one another not to be somebody else, but to be God's man or God's woman. In order to do that, you've got to hear God's word. Stop stinking up the place and with all that evil that you have in your life and repent of your sins. Be washed in the watery grave of baptism and allow God to take those sins away from you. Come up out of that watery grave of baptism and walk faithful until the end, not just for a few minutes or a few days. Walk faithful until the end. And God can use you every week and moment of your life to reveal his glory. Because you see, it's not about you. Not about you. It never was about you. Not about your husband. Never was about him either. As a matter of fact, you tell him that too much. Listen, it's all about God. And allow him to use you in the present situation that you're in to reveal his glory. If we can help you with that today, why don't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song.